Good morning, First Baptist Church family and guests and friends. Thank you for joining us. Sorry for the delay in getting started. Just had some computer problems, but got that all worked out. Glad you could join us. If you want to communicate to us, just let us know. We've got folks that are monitoring the computer and be able to respond to you quickly. But we're looking forward to a great time of worship today. Let me just encourage you to stay in contact with us through our Facebook page. We'll send out regular updates to inform you about where we're at and what's going on, and keep you posted on that. But as we begin today, I want us to start by looking at the Word of God and listen to what God tells us in Psalm 27. In Psalm 27, the Bible says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a high rock." So with the thought of realizing the importance and the comfort of being in God's presence and of letting us be able to live in a way that we can stand upon the rock, let's begin our service with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the promises in it and for the principles that we can live by, for the truth, Lord, for the way it can lead us to Jesus and to have not only life abundant and life forgiven, but Lord, also life eternal. Lord, we pray today that you'll just bless us as we worship together. We know it's not normal times, it's not a normal service, but Lord, you can use this aspect to just encourage our hearts and instruct us further in the way. So we thank you for what you're going to do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, open them to Psalm 16. David is communicating and talking about experiencing a time of chaos, a time where things are out of control, a time where uncertainty reigns, and certainly it's a time that we can relate to. And through it all, David says, in the midst of trouble, God gives hope. And I want to talk about that tonight or today as we think about our passage of Scripture and applying that to our lives where we are today. It's one thing to tell someone to have hope, but what we really need is to know how we can go about getting that hope. In other words, what is the process that we need to look at to help us to be able to be hopeful and to have the hope that will help us to endure anything and survive and to work through anything that we're going through? Well, that's what David talks about in this 16th Psalm. David is talking about it. He begins this psalm with his problems. And we know as we read the life of David, that David had many problems. He wasn't immune from difficulties and hardships and heartaches and difficulties in his life. And we know that David communicates that honestly. And matter of fact, many psalms, as you read through the psalms, you discover that David begins those psalms with difficulty that he's facing. But you know, the good news and the great comfort of the Christian life is this, that although we can't escape difficulties and trouble and heartaches and problems in life, that in the midst of those problems, there's God. And God is a very present help in trouble. And God will help us, and God will be there. And so David doesn't just dwell upon his problem, he doesn't just stop with his problem, but what he does is he moves through the psalm, the Holy Spirit guides him, to help us to see that in the midst of that problem, God has the power and God has the presence and God is able to help him. And it's interesting that he ties this hope that he has through God's presence and God's power to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're going to be celebrating that event in a couple of weeks. But for the Christian, the resurrection is the foundation. It is the core of all that we believe, of all that makes us in a right relationship with God, because Jesus Christ came and died for us, gave himself and paid the sacrifice that needed to be paid and became our substitute. He was buried And 3 days later was raised from the dead as God affirmed the redemptive work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And he lives today. And because of that resurrection, we have hope. Because of that resurrection, we have the opportunity to look forward to not only tomorrow, but also to eternity. And so as we look at this, I want to just break it down into two parts this morning as we consider a message entitled, In the Midst of Trouble, God Gives Hope. Now, how do we get that? Well, first of all, notice the foundation for this hope. Notice where this hope begins. We see that it begins, first of all, in us living in the light and in the realization of who God is. We see that in the first two verses there where David says, Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, You are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As David is communicating to the Lord and talking about his problem, notice his focus. Notice where he starts at. He starts in the realization of who God is. Now, we discover that in the words that David uses in this psalm in identifying God. He says there, Preserve me, O God. There is the word for Elohim. It is the word that talks about the all-powerful God, the one who stands beside me, the one who has the power to work through me and to form me and to work out his purpose and his plan in our lives. You see, this is a God that David had experienced not only in his mind but also in his life as he discovered the all-powerful nature of God and saw God work in ways that were beyond his help and in a way that gave him hope. Then he goes on and says that his soul has said to the Lord, You are my Lord. Here we see two uses of the word Lord that David discovered about God. First of all, notice that first word of Lord is capitalized. It's capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. That's the word that speaks of Jehovah, the one who is the Almighty God, the one who, although he created everything and he's above everything, yet he desires to have a personal, intimate relationship with you and I. He desires to have us to know him and have us to relate to him in a real way. And then he uses the other word, Lord, which is not capitalized, and that's the word Adonai. It's a word that speaks of God's rule. It speaks of God being in charge. And here David discovered that if his life was going to work out the way it needed to, the way he wanted it to, the way he desired it to, that he needed to have God to be in control of his life. He needed to give God charge of his life. And so we see that David's hope begins with living in light of the understanding of who God is. You know, that's a question that you and I have to answer today, and the question is this. Do we know this God in the way that David knew God? You see, David here is talking about the God who provides. Matter of fact, I challenge you this week to go into the Bible and look at the Old Testament and what it talks about as far as the names of God. And then look also not only the Old Testament, the New Testament, and see what it talks about and what it teaches about the names of Christ. And out of that, you'll discover who God is. And out of that, you'll discover who Christ is. And David discovered in a personal way, as he gave himself to the Lord and sought the Lord and sought to deepen his relationship with the Lord, he came to know God for who he was and what he was able to do. You see, this is talking about more than just knowing about God. It's talking about something more than just believing in God. You see, the Bible says that the demons believe in God and they even tremble. And yet that belief doesn't do any good. You see, this is not talking about an intellectual belief. This is not just talking about something that you've heard about or something that your parents have taught you or told you about or the pastor or the church. No, this is talking about a God that you know personally. This is talking about a God that is there and that is able. Paul says in Philippians, he says that I may know him, that I may know Christ and God and the fullness of his power. You see, that's what we need to do as we go through these difficult days. We need to know the power. We need to know the person. We need to know the character of God that will give us hope and help us to stand on that solid rock. You see, we come to realize in this day that everything around us we can't hope in, we can't rely upon. You see, a lot of people have lost their wealth during this time. The stock market has plummeted, and people have lost vast amounts of wealth, and their wealth is not able to rescue them. Their wealth is not able to help them during this time. A lot of people made their God out of athletics, and now the sports events have been taken from them, and they've discovered that although it's fun and all it's enjoyable to participate in athletics and to watch athletic events, yet those athletes and those events can't save us. They can't help us through this time. See, there are others who have come and they depended upon their health, and now they're struggling with this coronavirus and fearful maybe that they'll get that, and they discover that their health is not able to rescue them. Their health is not able to help them during this time. See, where can we turn to in times like this? We need to turn to the Lord. We need to discover who God is. We need to find out how God is able to be able to work with us and to walk with us and to help us in this situation. You see, because that only allows us to be able to have the rest and the peace in our spirits and in our souls that will help us to get through these days. And so David says the foundation for hope is living in light of understanding who God is. But also he says here that this hope is based upon living in light of God's Word. You see down there in verses 5 and 6, he says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a good inheritance. And so we see here that David says, that the basis of his hope is in his word. Now, notice how many times David has talked to God personally. He says, Lord, you are my Lord. He says, Lord, you are my hope. In you, I look for preserving me and helping me during this time. And notice, where does he find out about his Lord? Where does he find out the fact that he can say that his Lord is his portion and his inheritance? And where does he find out that God is able to maintain his existence? You see, David found out about that from the Bible. He found out that from God's Word. You see, it's God's Word that teaches us about God, that tells us about God's heart, that tells us about God's purpose, that tells us about all we need to know about God and how we can properly respond to Him. And so David got into the Bible. He got into the Word. And you see, that's what gives us our hope. Do you realize, folks, that the Bible has been able to give man instruction even when man didn't know everything he needed to know? You know, we live in a day of technology. We live in a day where we're able just to get in the computer, ask a question, and 10,000 responses will pop up. You know, it's just, we live in a day of information, a day of knowledge. But folks, listen, there are a lot of people who have that opportunity, but they don't know the God that they need to know. You know, if we know God as we need to know Him, we'll find out what we need to know and what is helpful in this world. We'll discover that this world just didn't happen. This world just didn't come into existence on its own. No matter of fact, the Bible tells us that it is God who has created us and not we ourselves. You see, if you discover, look into the Bible. Now, I know the Bible is not a science book, and I know the Bible doesn't deal with a lot of scientific things, but listen, whenever the Bible speaks about scientific things, it's absolutely accurate. You realize the Bible says, you know, for a long time, man lived, and he thought that the earth was flat and that it ended out there. Matter of fact, even at the time of Columbus, when he wanted to travel past Spain and beyond Spain and see and search out other places in the world, they were fearful that he'd go so far that he'd fall off the end of the earth. But you know, if they'd have read the Bible, God would have told them what the earth was like. For in the Old Testament, Isaiah, God says that he sets upon the circle of the earth. Now you see, before man had satellites, before man went out into space and was able to look back upon the earth, God told man what the earth was shaped like. Some people thought in earlier times that the earth was setting upon the back of a giant turtle or a giant elephant or Atlas was carrying the earth. But you know, if they'd just read the Bible, they'd have found out that God would have told them that the earth, that he setteth not upon the circle of the earth, but he hangeth the world upon nothing. He hangeth the earth upon nothing. You see, the Bible teaches us that what we need to know about God to be able to not only know how to live, but what is the purpose of life. You see, if we look into the Bible, we'll discover about ourselves. You know, maybe you've been told by your parents or other people that you're no good, that you'll amount to nothing. And yet God says that he has a great love for you and that you're special and you have a great purpose and a plan and he wants to work that out in your life. You're special to God. And the Bible tells you about how special you are to God. You see, you're so special that God didn't leave you in your sinful condition. No, you're so special that God came and he took your problem. He took your sin problem and solved it. Now, you couldn't have done that. You're not good enough to solve it. You don't have enough good intentions to be good to solve that. But God solved it for you when he sent Jesus Christ upon the cross to die on your behalf and to die in your place, to help you to be forgiven of your sins and to have full and abundant life and eternal life through him. And the Bible teaches us about that, and it teaches us how we can accept Jesus as our Savior. You see, that's what you need. If you're going to have hope to see you through these days, you need to not only understand who God is, but you need to get into his Word. I challenge you, just study the Bible. Study the Gospel of John or the Gospel or the letters of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and the book of Romans, and it'll teach you about God and about what he's done through Jesus Christ to help you come to be the person God made you, created you to be. But secondly, notice that not only do we see the foundation of our... Well, let me read also verse 7. It says, "And I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons." You see, that's why we need to go to the Word, because we need to get counsel from God. We need to get instructions. We need to get advice on where to look to and what to depend upon and how to know God more. And out of that, he'll not only give us counsel, but notice, even in the most darkest times, he will instruct us. You might not be able to see, but God will give you night vision. He'll give you the vision to be able to see where you can't see and to walk where you can't walk as you follow him by faith and obedience. And then notice not only the foundation for this hope, but notice also the fruit of this hope. Beginning in verse 8, down through the end of this psalm, David talks about it in two ways. Two ways this fruit is demonstrated, this fruit is manifested. First of all, it's manifested in this life. Notice he says there in verse 8, he says, "I have set the Lord before me always. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." So you see, there's this decision, there's the choice. Because of what he found out about God, he has hope. And so now that hope begins to bear fruit. And what is it leading to? Well, he says there that he will not only bless the Lord, he'll not only be happy in the Lord, but there in verse 8 it says he will always set the Lord before him. In other words, he'll continually, day by day, moment by moment, yield to the Lord to seek his face and to seek to please him and to live for him. And then notice he says, "Because the Lord, he is on my right hand," he says, "I shall not be moved." In other words, because God is there, he has not only the authority, but also the power to govern the things in my life so that it'll work out for his glory and for my good. That's what Romans 8:28 says when it says all things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good. Certainly they are. But God is right there working and has the authority and the power to work all things together, to work it out for his glory and for his good. And then notice that in verse 9 it talks there about the fact that we can have stability and we can have security. David is not fearful of those uncertain things that he began to talk about in the first part of this psalm. David is not dwelling upon the difficulty and the danger that is there. But notice he is resting in the Lord. He is secure in the Lord, and he's safe and stable in the Lord. And then notice not only is that fruit manifested in this life, but it's also manifested in our relationship with the Lord. Notice in verse 10 it says, "You shall not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Now it's interesting, as David talks here, the Holy Spirit leads him to prophesy about the coming Messiah. All throughout the Old Testament, that's what God is communicating in type and in symbol and in principle and truth. He's talking about the fulfillment of his promise that he gave Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden after they sinned, that he would send a Messiah who would not only defeat Satan, but he also would deal with the sin problem that we have and also defeat death that came as a result of sin. And so David comes, and as he's writing, he talks about not only do we have hope in this life, but we have hope because of our relationship with the Lord. Because you see, Jesus Christ has not only overcome death, he's overcome sin, and he's overcome Satan, and he's overcome the world, and there's nothing that's able to keep or to interfere with God being able to work in our lives because of what Jesus Christ has done. You see, even death couldn't hold Jesus. Even the grave couldn't keep him from rising again. And so he proclaims here the great hope. And here's what David is saying. He says, the hope of the resurrection. Now, David was looking on this side of the cross. He was looking on this side of the tomb. But he says, the hope of the resurrection changes everything. Because you see, my perspective is really clarified and it's really narrowed now. And I'm able to see that what God has done in Jesus Christ takes care of the problem of sin, takes care of the problem of death, takes care of the problem of anything else trying to defeat me or destroy me or keep me from fulfilling my purpose in life. The resurrection changes that. But he goes on and says, not only does the resurrection change everything, but look what he winds up saying in verse 11. He says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And so he says, not only does the resurrection change everything, but now God is able to give us completely all things that we need to live. And that's what Peter talks about when he says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. And so God is able to do that. He says here, God will show him the path of life. You don't know what direction to take. You don't know what steps to take. You don't know where this is headed. Well, God will direct you. God will show you. He will guide you. And notice, where do you focus upon? Focus upon the presence of God. Invite God into your problem. Invite God into your life. And as you invite God into your life, you will have the fullness of joy. You will have the delight of knowing that your sins are forgiven. You'll have the joy of being able to walk with God. And God will be able to give you peace and joy and love and everything you need to live life. But also he says that at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So he's talking about not only the hope and the help that he gets now. But folks, listen, tomorrow God has more wonderful, wonderful things not only to show us, but to give us. As we walk with Him, as we give our life to Him, as we give Him our problems and let Him work that out through His love. And so David says, in the midst of problems, in the midst of difficulties, God will give you hope. And so I just want to encourage you to have hope today. Have hope because of who God is. Have hope because of what God says. But also have hope because of what God is able to do when you invite Him into your life. You know, God doesn't want to just be your helper. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your Savior. And we've got to start there. We've got to admit that we can't save ourselves and that we're sinners separated from God. And we deserve death and judgment. But God in His love, God in His mercy, came to this earth lived the life we could never live, died in our place, is alive today because he rose from the dead. And he offers himself to us so we might have not only life now, but life eternal. And if you haven't done that today, I challenge you to do that. And I just encourage you that if you do that, you say, well, what do I need to do? Well, just, I kind of explained it, but just simply say to God, Father, thank you for loving me. I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I can't save myself. I turn from that sin. I turn and thank you for what Jesus Christ did upon the cross. I accept what he's done. And I ask you to come to my heart, Jesus, to be my Savior and my Lord. If you do that, he'll come in. He'll change your life. He'll help you to have that process that you can begin working on to develop your faith and to move toward having hope, real, genuine, comforting hope. And if you've done that, I just ask you just to get on our website at www.firstbaptistbutlermo.org and just communicate to us that you made that decision. We'd be glad to contact you and to help you through that process to come to know Jesus Christ in a more personal way. Thank you for watching this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity not only to learn it, but also to live by it. Father, we thank you that through your word and through who you are, we can have great hope. We can have certain hope. Thank you, Lord, that not only can we have hope, but we can have help. Thank you that you are that very present help in time of trouble. Father, I pray that those who have watched, Lord, if they're concerned and anxious about today or about their health or about how things are going to turn out, I just pray, Lord, that you'll comfort their hearts and, Lord, make them aware of your presence, of your power and your provisions for this time. Father, others who maybe are going through sickness and illness, we pray, Lord, that you'll be the divine physician and give them strength and restore them back to health. Father, some have experienced sorrow and heartache during this time. We pray, Father, that you'll just comfort their hearts, Lord, and be the God of all comfort to them, that your grace might be sufficient for their every need. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship. We pray, Father, that we'll become not just hearers of the word, but also doers of it as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.